This is episode 1743. Welcome to your daily guided meditation. In today's episode, I have a special treat for you. I came across a wonderful psychologist who happens to live in the same city I live in, Tampa, Florida, and she is specializing in something that's pretty unique that I think you might be able to relate to. And that is how to manage your mental wellness, including stress, anxiety, depression, and other mental conditions. And she helps in particular people who are high achievers. And you might be thinking, well, there's so much more I want to do, so I wouldn't really consider myself a high achiever. Well, I just bet that if you are here listening, getting ready to meditate, that you are a high achiever. You do have certain expectations for yourself. And when you are in your times of greatest need, you reach out. You are willing to explore many different out of the ordinary ways to live a happy and healthy life. And so I just bet that you do expect a lot out of yourself, and this can put pressure on yourself. And so Dr. Lindsay O'Brien is the psychologist I've interviewed. Now, as you listen to her interview, she's going to mention several simple ways that you can identify depression, stress, and anxiety, what you can do about it, and also if you maybe don't suffer from these kinds of mental conditions, but you have loved ones who do, she provides ways for you to help loved ones. And this is very important, and it's not often mentioned or explained how this could be so important to someone who's reaching out to you because they're depressed or stressed or suffering from anxiety. Now, she also mentions in the interview how to keep a thought log. And you have a challenge for this week, and that is to visualize peace. Well, I would like to add on to this challenge and encourage you to do a thought log. You'll hear all about it in the interview. And so you have a special treat. Now, don't forget to do your meditation today so you can go back and listen to one of the meditations from this week's series, or simply settle yourself down and pick out a technique on the slow down guide and meditate. You could meditate in silence or use music. It's up to you. So without further ado, I welcome Dr. Lindsay O'Brien. Okay, here is our special guest I've been telling you about, Dr. Lindsay O'Brien. And a little background about Dr. O'Brien is she is a licensed psychologist in the state of Florida. She's also the owner of Morningstar Wellness, and this is her private practice in Florida, in Tampa, or Carrollwood is the area where she lives, where she works with students and adults who are experiencing stress, anxiety, and overwhelm due to their school, work, and life demands. She's also an adjunct faculty member and doctoral supervisor at the University of South Florida's School Psychology Program. She received her combined PhD in clinical counseling and school psychology from University of California, Santa Barbara. In addition, she completed two postdoctoral fellowships, one at Johns Hopkins University, Bloomberg School of Public Health, and the other at the University of South Florida School of Education. And I want to just let you know that Dr. O'Brien specializes with helping people who are high achieving, and she has done a lot of extensive work
She works with high-achieving and gifted students, such as those in rigorous schools, like an international baccalaureate program, athletes, and performers. And she helps students and professionals navigate their school or work-related stress and to effectively manage their time while continuing to reach their long-term academic and career goals. So this is a little bit about Dr. O'Brennan. I'm really excited that she's here with us as we continue with our anxiety journey this week, learning how to manage anxiety with meditation techniques. And so I'm honored she's here as a guest expert. So welcome, Dr. O'Brennan.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mary.
Well, I'm really excited and I've been looking forward to this interview because I like how you specialize working with high achievers. And sometimes high achievers, and I know many of you listening to the meditations, are wanting to calm your mind and body because you are undergoing a lot of stress that may be self-imposed stress, as well as stress in your environment, but it can be stress because you may feel like you're just not enough when actually you are doing a great job just as you are. And it's not always necessary to receive the kind of depression and anxiety that goes along with an overachiever. There are some tools, and I know you can help the listeners with those tools. So I wanted to ask you how to notice when you or a loved one is depressed, especially for overachievers.
Yeah, it's well, it looks the same for just, I guess, a typical person versus an overachiever. And I say overachievers are those of us that we've got really big goals in mind. Maybe we tended to do really well in school throughout our life, went on to the colleges that we wanted to, or maybe we're climbing the corporate ladder, starting up our own businesses, or want to set a PR when we're working out. So I say high achievers are anyone that is striving for more. And what depression can look like there is, I like to say, it's kind of like you get your feet stuck in the mud in a way, where you're moving fast towards that goal. You've got your sight, you know, something in mind, and you just can't seem to go there fast enough. And it's where everything starts slowing down. And so what this might look like from someone on the outside is seeing someone just getting tired more easily. They might be experiencing a certain level of burnout. They might not be able to talk and think as fast. A lot of times we'll notice like, gosh, I'm having a really hard time making decisions right now too. Like I'm not sure what direction to go in. Maybe I'm not as motivated to get all the work done that I typically was interested in doing. I'm not interested in like filling my social calendar the way that I used to. So those are some key things that'll appear from the outside. And I do want to point out that it's, these are all very typical for a lot of us, that we have those moments, those dips because of our health, our stress. But what makes it depression is that it's significantly impacting your life in one way or another. So that could be, I'm so unmotivated, I'm really falling behind in work or school, or my relationships are starting to fall apart because I'm isolating myself, or I'm not staying up on my finances, not going into the office, things like that. So that's where it becomes depression, when it's significantly getting in the way. I just always want to make that clear to people so they're not thinking, uh-oh, wait, some of those things you just listed sound like me. we all experience them at some level or another. It's just how much of a problem is this in your current life?
Yeah, so these people can be moving forward and look from the outside like all is well. And in fact, they are doing exceptionally well, but they notice certain areas that are slipping, which to the average person might seem like, wow, well, they're doing way more than I am. But for that person, it's there's a difference.
Oh, yes. That I love you pointed that out, because that's the tricky thing with being a high achieving individual. So from the outside, someone could say, but you're still getting all A's, or, you know, you still are working at the best accounting firm in our state. Or you still live in this beautiful house and you have wonderful kids and family and you just went on a vacation. I saw on Facebook, like, how could you possibly be depressed? It just doesn't make sense. The what we're seeing on the outside and what the person's experiencing internally are not matching up. So what it usually feels like for the person that is experiencing depression is this, it's like their whole world becomes dark. And it really takes that just a lot of negative self-talk of, you know, gosh, I'm always screwing things up, or I just can't seem to get this right. Why can't I be perfect? You know, just a lot of like nothing ever seems like it's going to measure up to the high expectations we have. And then that gets coupled with, and now I'm going to believe this is going to be the rest of my life, that I don't foresee myself ever being good enough. I'm never going to reach perfection. I'm never going to get it all figured out. And I'm always going to feel this way. And that's what could be happening internally, that as friends, family, coworkers, you might not see that on the outside for someone. But it's very isolating when we have those, start to have those beliefs.
So there, would you say there's kind of like a recipe that goes on through their mind? It starts with something and then it just kind of builds and then snowballs.
Yeah, it's actually, so Aaron Beck, who is one of the leaders in psychology, I should say, and one of the founders of cognitive behavior therapy, he says that depression, you have to have kind of three things in that recipe. So one is having negative views about yourself. And that is that, like, gosh, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough, fast enough. You know, I'm always screwing these things up. Why can't I do this? So that's part one. The second thing is then having a negative view about how the world is. And that can be like, oh, well, you know, I feel so dumb, but like it, you know, it always seems like it's working out for those people. You know, those people always seem happy, but I'm not. We can often get stuck in a victim mentality. Like, I'm never going to get my lucky break. You know, I'm working so hard over here, but nothing ever seems to go my way. And then the third part of this recipe is having the negative view about the future. And that's really the crucial thing that of, and I'm going to, I believe that it will always be this way, that things are never going to change. It's never going to get better. And that's really that hopelessness about our future is what can leave us feeling stuck in the mud of like, gosh, what is the point? What's the point of going to work? What's the point of living? What's the point of all of this? Because how I feel now and how the world is pretty awful.
Wow. Okay. Oh, so now what is the flip side of that where you can turn that around? And I'm sure you do this when you work with people to help create a recipe that helps to manage that stress and anxiety, like even some intervention.
Yeah. So a lot of that, this is where it pairs so well with the content of your podcast, is it really starts with awareness of what's going on in our brains. And because, as I mentioned before, all those negative thoughts that we have, first of all, they're just thoughts. And for whatever reason, we have all kind of learned to believe that the thoughts that we think must be true. So if I believe that I'm not smart enough, then I must not be smart enough. Like, that's my truth. When in fact, you know, who knows where that thought came from? It came from you read a magazine article, or you saw, you know, someone sitting next to you, they got an A+ and you got an A on a test when you were in eighth grade, you know, or your parents said that offhand of, oh, you're not as smart as your brother. I mean, this is where thoughts pop from, you know, so then they're not true. It's just our perception of them. So the very first step is just becoming aware of the negative chatter that happens in our brains. And that usually the first part of it is can start with meditation. You could do a thought log, but any way for us to kind of get out of our heads and just realize, okay, why don't I get familiar with all of the endless nonsense that I've got going on in my brain?
Yeah, that makes sense. So when you become aware of your thoughts and what's going on, but you still feel that way, can you recommend some even lifestyle rituals? You mentioned the thought log, and I love that. That is, can you explain that a little bit more, how people would keep a thought log?
Yeah, there's actually a number of different apps. Of course, I'm not going to be able to think of one right this second, but you could simply just have set a reminder on your phone. And you could say, enter in, you know, a thought log. And what you could do is just on a piece of paper, say what time, what the day is, the time of day. And just, you could do stream of consciousness of what's popping up through my brain right now. And that could be all kinds of things of, oh, I'm feeling tired. I really want a coffee. Oh, I need to get my taxes done. Oh, I should respond to that email. Gosh, I'm feeling like I'm frustrated with that coworker. That's a great way. It's like, one, we just pause middle of our day and then being able to see, gosh, what are the like many, many thousands of thoughts that are going through my head at any given moment? So
that's
it gives
excellent.
Us a little bit of awareness. So what can happen, you do that, you could do it multiple times a day. You could do it, same time every single day. And then you could see some patterns start to emerge. So you might see, wow, gosh, I am, you know, obsessing on this thing about work all week long. You know, this little conversation I had with a coworker is stuck in my brain. Or I seem to be very stressed out, or I'm always like stressing about how tired I am or what I'm going to make for dinner. So we might be able to see these little patterns of thinking start to pop up. So I say the first part is awareness, but you also are learning how to be a detective in your own brain.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I know that's probably what you do to help people break these cycles, because sometimes we're not really aware, or I'll notice that sometimes I won't really notice what's really bothering me because I'm really kind of numbed out to a certain emotion. Even when I stop and think about, you know, what's causing this or what's causing that, sometimes it can take me some time to really figure that out. Do you have suggestions to, you know, really help yourself connect with your emotions?
Oh, that's a good one. I asked myself the question of kind of how am I feeling in this moment? So it could be if I'm experiencing agitation, stress, anxiety. One, it's just finding a quiet place to really think about where am I feeling it in my body? Some of us are, we can feel it in our heart. Some of us feel things in our head. I myself am someone, I feel a lot of things in my gut. So I'm often do a literal gut check on things of like, okay, what's going on? You know, let's kind of touch base with how I'm feeling. And then almost giving myself compassion to just feel it, even if I don't know what it is. It's like a little bit woo-woo.
No, that makes sense.
Way of thinking. But it also helps to physically put your hand on your gut or your heart or your head or kind of wherever you're feeling that pain, pressure, whatever it is. And then you just kind of think like, okay, what's going on? And just do a little check-in, take some deep breaths. And that for me helps me just remember, okay, I got to get out of my head right now. It's a way to interrupt those thoughts.
That's a really great technique. I think I will be sharing that more and more with the fellow meditators here. So to actually touch the part of the body where you feel this tension or stress and to allow yourself to just feel it, whether or not you know where it's coming from or not. So then after you do that, what if you just kind of get, you realize that, okay, you know, I keep ruminating on this thought. How do you break out of that? How do you actually create, you know, change to break out of that kind of thought pattern?
So there's a couple of different techniques, and this some of these will work better for some people versus others. So one is we can almost have a little dialogue with that thought in our head. So say, you know, the common "I'm not good enough" belief. Once we notice when those thoughts start popping up, to almost start to get a little bit silly with that voice of like, okay, I hear you, brain. I hear you. You don't feel like we're good enough, but you know what? We're going to keep moving forward anyways, because I got to get some work done today. We're hearing that voice. You recognize it. You acknowledge it. And then you also say, okay, but I don't really have time for that right now. I got you. I know you're feeling scared or you're feeling sad today, but we got to keep moving forward. And you can use a little bit of sarcasm or humor if you want. So that's one way. Like some people, it's just a way to interrupt it and make light of our thoughts, because, you know, they pop up for whatever reason. We've inherited them for whatever reason, and we don't have to take them so seriously all the time.
Yes.
So, interrupting our thoughts that way is really helpful. You can also do physical interruptions by, I'm going to physically move myself in another location. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to pet my dog. I'm going to kind of do some jumping jacks. I'm going to, you know, do something to kind of get the blood flowing and moving our bodies differently, even if just something little, just a little different movement can help us kind of shake and interrupt those thought patterns.
That's so excellent. And what I really like about your suggestions is that it's very doable. Like, I could do this today, right after we talk, you know, I could actually do this.
Yes.
And I'm sure the fellow meditators are feeling the same way. Like, oh, I'm going to do that.
And you can, I always say, gosh, try to have, kind of weave some humor into things, because we have to laugh at ourselves a little bit. So many of us have the very common thoughts. We all are probably experiencing the same. I'm not good enough. You know, why can't I be better at this? I wish I had this, or I want to do that. We're experiencing such similar things. So it's almost we have compassion for ourselves, but having compassion for, gosh, all the rest of us that are going through kind of in the same boat, thinking these things.
Yes. No, that's so good. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So I'd also like to ask you, I know there's a lot of importance placed on creating a safety plan if you feel yourself becoming depressed or really not being able to manage, you know, any kind of emotional or mental strain very well. Do you recommend having a safety plan?
So I've done that with clients. I think a safety plan, if you're going to make one, you need to make it with someone else. So we can have, I think, make our own. We can have things in mind of, all right, these are some strategies that when I am triggered or I get in that really dark place or I kind of find myself slipping down into a path of depression or my anxiety is revving up, you know, here are some strategies I could try doing. And that is helpful, but I think making a safety plan with another person that you feel very safe around. So that could be a counselor or a psychologist, a therapist, coach, but also a trusted family member. And I say it's important to do it with someone else because one, it's you're voicing how you're feeling. If you really are on the verge of really thinking about taking your life, or you feel like I'm going to have a panic attack, you know, I'm really not in a good place. To voice that to someone else and that person, that trusted person to say, hey, I see you. I've got you. We're going to go through this together. There's a lot of power in that experience of seeing, all right, I'm not alone. I have someone who physically has my back right now.
Yes. Yeah, that's powerful.
It is, especially when we have those beliefs of nobody cares, nobody would miss me if I were gone. And those are just, you know, thoughts that we're having in our head. Those are not true. So to have someone else there in front of you saying, nope, you're going to be okay. We're going to get you through this. I got you. I want you to be in this world. And what that plan could look like, it's very simple. And if you experience negative or distressing thoughts of identifying what could I do instead? So maybe it's going for a walk, being around your pet, talking to a friend or a trusted person, and then identifying people who you can turn to and call when you're in a state of crisis. And a key thing I want to make sure is that you're going to identify people who you're going to call, and you also have to make sure those people know that they're on your list. Because if you are in a low place and you call that person up and they're not receptive, they might be dismissive of what's going on for you, that is the exact opposite person you want on your list. And I'm sure all of us, any of your listeners, they probably know exactly who I'm talking about. We all have the people in our life that just might say, oh gosh, you know, get over it. You're fine. Like, you know, just go have a glass of wine, watch some Netflix. It'll all be okay. Yeah, we're all stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't want those people on your safety plan. We want the other people on the list.
Yeah. So, well, that leads me to ask you, what if you are on someone's list and you want to support them and you get that call and you just freeze or you're not sure what to do? What can you do? What are some ways you can help that person feel safe?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great question. And it's something I don't think we talk about enough because I've gotten talked to loved ones or friends of, I don't know what to do right now. And we panic of, oh my gosh, I don't have the right words. Nobody prepared me for this script. and I think it's acknowledging, gosh, just sitting with someone in their pain is such a powerful experience. I see you. Gosh, I had no idea. This is really hard for you, you know, of just affirming and empathizing and recognizing without problem solving, but just sitting there with the person of, okay, I love you. And I, you know, I want you to be safe. And this is really hard. You know, you are just feeling a whole lot. So that is the first and foremost thing. So if someone reaches out to you, to just, gosh, give them as much love as you possibly can, because that takes a lot of guts to reach out to someone. Mm-hmm. The second thing I would suggest is to help them start problem solving. Of like, okay, I'm worried about you. I'm taking your mental health seriously. I think it would be helpful if you have a counselor or are able to talk to somebody who could help you navigate this a little bit better. That, I think, being you're like giving them the love, and now you're helping give them kind of the life raft. And that could be, if you have someone in mind, a counselor that you know of that you could recommend to them, then you could give that number. Could always go on Psychology Today to find therapists in your area. So that's really simple. You go on, put in your zip code, you can even select, you know, I want someone that specializes in depression and CBT, and then you could find who's there, who takes insurance. If you're, this is like close friend or family, you can make that call for the person of, hey, you know what, let me see if I can reach out to the counselor for you. I'll get the ball rolling. Those are, good. I think, like very practical steps that you could take as someone, if it's your friend or family member or your child, of recognize, affirm, love them, and then, all right, let's get you some help and we'll walk through this together so you don't feel alone.
That's such a good plan to have in place because, you know, I know people who are feeling depressed or, you know, experiencing so much anxiety or depression or trauma, they just don't have the energy or the focus. Sometimes, you know, just thinking clearly is difficult. And it can seem so overwhelming to find the help that you need. So I think I love how you said, go to Psychology Today and type in your zip code and, you know, you can narrow it down from there, or actually doing that for the person and helping them see, you know, who their insurance would take. And that's really important. And just being with them in their pain. I like how you said that. And then I wanted to mention the CBT. If you're new to, the listeners are new, that stands for cognitive behavioral therapy, where it's, can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what I was mentioning before about the negative thought patterns we tend to have. So what it is we become aware of the thought patterns we have and then start asking, all right, is this thought helpful? We kind of begin questioning those thoughts of, is this one helpful for me to keep around? You know, is this always the case that I feel like I'm always screwing up? Well, you know, is that true? And so that, as a therapist, that's what you would be doing, of kind of engaging them in that dialogue of, all right, let's challenge these thoughts a little bit and then see, what could you replace this with? Could you swap it out with something that's a little bit more positive, kind of helping lead you in the right direction? And then you're practicing that. Takes a lot of practice to swap our thoughts out because we hold on to our habits very tightly. But that's the basic gist of it.
Oh, wow. These are so excellent. Well, I want to ask you just one more question and just thank you so much for this interview. It's been so helpful. And I wanted to ask you if you could just kind of quickly name some lifestyle habits or rituals that you recommend to people to keep them balanced in how they feel about their lives and what they're achieving.
Okay. So just daily things that you can add into your life?
Yes.
Or things people could start doing now?
Yes.
I think, you know, this might be slightly different, but I would say start having some conversations with your family about mental health and the mental health that runs in families. Because, you know, I'll speak personally, is that I experience anxiety. And when I started to really get more curious about my own anxiety, I realized how many people in my family experience it very similarly. And so having those conversations, one, made me feel less alone of, oh my gosh, you know, my grandmother, my aunts, like other people have experienced the same thing. So doing that, that could be something that's one you'd have to uncover a little bit, but to just start having conversations about mental health and how things feel. And so that's one way. It just helps it. So when you do get into those really low places, it makes it a whole lot easier to talk to people and reach out. It's kind of, I guess, a little bit of preventative work.
That's really important. Well, I want to thank you so much for all the excellent suggestions and for all you do. And can you tell the listeners how they can reach out to you if they want to work with you, or if they have questions or want you to present for them? Or
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So I, you know, people can always reach me. Best way is probably through email. So it's Dr. Lindsay, so DrLindsey at morningstarwell.com. And they could also go to my website at morningstarwell.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook at Morningstar Wellness. So those, you can find me on social media, but the best way is probably, if you have a specific question, is to reach me through email. And then I am, if you happen to be in the Tampa area, I'm always happy to work with, take on new clients. But I'm more than happy to work with other organizations, schools, groups of people, communities, to present and talk about these things. So I love giving, doing workshops and really getting to know people and helping them become a little bit more aware of their own mental health needs and how to prevent some of these things from happening.
Yes, I agree. Prevention and awareness is the key. We need to get the word out more and more about mental illness. So mm-hmm. I thank you so much for your time.
So there you have the interview with Dr. Lindsay O'Brien. Again, you can reach out to Dr. O'Brien if you would like to work with her at drlindsay@morningstarwellness.com. This is her email. She said that's the best way to reach her. It's drlindsey@morningstarwellness.com. Again, I encourage you to keep a thought log this week and notice patterns in your thinking and just become aware of your emotions and what might be triggering those emotions and where you feel those emotions in your body. So as you meditate today, you might want to just spend some time becoming aware of your own stress and anxiety in your life and practice noticing where you do hold this within you. So as always, you are so worth slowing down for.